He's happy today. Come on. Big day today. Super Bowl Sunday.
Go Bengals.
Oh, Lord, thank you, Father. I just ask that you speak through me today. Give me the words to say. And, Father, just let them touch people who need to be touched by them. Amen. So it is Super Bowl Sunday, biggest day of the year, right? That's what a lot of people say, biggest day of the year. Everybody's out partying, carrying on. And they're really carrying on this year because they're in Las Vegas. So how big a deal is that, huh? Look at the buildup. For the last 2 weeks, all we've seen is ads on TV about the upcoming Super Bowl. And, you know, in trying to give you a peek of what the Super Bowl commercials are going to be, because they're going to be so overwhelming, and they're usually pretty bad. But we're gathered, you know, people gathered together for big parties, lots of food, watch the game. But, you know, the name of this talk is Winners and Losers, because there are going to be two teams playing today. One of them's going to win. One of them's going to lose. There are no ties. And there are no ties in life. But the two teams, they've had a whole couple weeks now to come up with a game plan how to defeat the other team. They have all kinds of tactics to come up with different situations. Football is an interesting game because there's probably 100 plays in a football game, and every one of them is different. So, you know, you got to come up with something to stop the other one. But they've had 2 weeks to come up with their tactics. And it's interesting how they do it. They come up with a playbook. If this guy does this, we'll do this. If this guy does this, they'll do that. And Damon can tell you, they study each other in football. How a guy leans over to line up, and if he moves his hand just a little bit, you know what he's going to do. You know, we don't always know what we're going to do. We might think we do. We hope we're doing the right stuff. Both teams will play their hearts out. I'm going to read today because I'm not really good. Just as we live each day, we play our hearts out. Play as hard as we can, trying to be in God's will. But in the end, one team will win and one team will lose. The winners will say, it's the greatest day they've ever lived. And the losers will say, it's the worst day of their life. Now, we're talking about winners and losers today. We're talking about winners and losers in our life. But I don't want to talk about our everyday life, our natural life. What I want to talk about is our spiritual life. Are we a winner or a loser in our spiritual life? I found it interesting because Oscar always talks about how God does things in threes. How he always does things in threes. And I found it very interesting when I was looking at talking at the wrong end, the losing end. But in three consecutive books of the Bible, he says almost exactly the same thing. And here I'm going to tell you what they are. Matthew 16, 5. 16:25. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it. And I want to read the footnotes in my Bible because I think they're really interesting. It says, the possibility of losing their lives was very real for the disciples as well for Jesus. Real discipleship implies real commitment, pledging our whole existence to his service. If we try to save our physical life from death, pain, and discomfort, we may risk losing our true eternal life. If we protect ourselves from pain, we begin to die spiritually and emotionally. Our lives turn inward and we lose our intended purpose. And when we give our lives to service to Christ, however, we discover the real purpose of living. That's the first one. I want you to remember what the footnotes say here. Because the next verse is in Mark. And it's Mark 8:35. Listen to this. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it. That's almost word for word. That's two books in a row. And the footnote here says, we should be willing to lose our lives for the sake of the gospel, not because our lives are useless, but because nothing, not even life itself, compared to what we gain with Christ Jesus. Jesus wants us to choose to follow him rather than lead a life of sin and self-satisfaction. He wants us to stop trying to control our destiny and let him direct us. This makes good sense because as the Creator, Christ knows better than we do what real life is about. He asks for submission, not self-hatred. He asks us only to lose our self-centered determination to be in charge. And then we go to Luke 9:24. Let me find it. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will save it. Now, that's three books in a row with almost word for word the exact same thing. So you think we're trying to get a message here? You think the Lord's trying to tell us something? We shouldn't try to live our life because, you know, wild and crazy or do whatever we want. He's trying to say, live it for him. Live it for him. And this one says, in this present life, it is most important for you, to you. If this life, present life, is most important to you, you will do everything you can to protect it. Excuse me. You will not want to do anything that might endanger your safety, health, or comfort. By contrast, if following Jesus is most important, you may find yourself in unsafe, unhealthy, and uncomfortable places. You will risk death, but you will not fear it because you know that Jesus will raise you to eternal life. Nothing material can compensate for the loss of eternal life. Jesus' disciples are not to use their lives on earth merely to please themselves. They should spend their lives serving God and people. That's what we should do, not live our life for our own satisfaction. We should live our life for the satisfaction of the Lord. Justin gave his testimony this morning in Sunday school. It was so powerful to me when he was talking about the things that he was addicted to that he was overcome by with, and how the Lord just took him away from him because he heard the Lord's voice. You know, that's what we need to do. We need to hear the Lord's voice. And how come sometimes we just don't want to listen? Because we want to be, you know, we want to be the big shot. We want to be the winner on that end. But we're not. We can't win that game. We might have the best playbook a coach or whoever. You can do all the reading of the life coach books and all the other stuff that you want to read. But those playbooks are not going to give you what you need. They're only going to give you what you need in this life, not for the eternal life that God promises you. You know, our lives are like a series of ups and downs. Some days we have good days, some not so good. When we have the good days, we kind of ease right through it. Don't give God a second thought a lot of times. But when it's going like this, when the bumps in the road come, what are we looking at? Oh, Lord, help me through this. You know, that's the losing part of it. We should say, oh, Lord, help me through. Thank you for the good days, and thank you for the bad days. You know, because if we got a bad day and we're living it through the Lord, guess what? We're learning a lesson. We're learning what God wants us to do and what we need to be doing. Now, if you look back to listen to what the footnote said, the first one said we need to be committed. So we need to be committed to the Lord. So what does that mean? That means we don't need to be committed to all the things that are going on around us. You know, there's a lot of stuff going on right now in the world. I don't care where you're at, what part of the world you're in. There's chaos everywhere right now. And we can choose to be in the chaos, or we can choose to walk with the Lord and let the chaos be worked out by Him, not by us. You know, if we want chaos, it's easy to find it. It's real easy to find it. Just ask for it. You'll get it. But I don't want any chaos. I want to wake up in the morning and say, Lord, thank you. Let me be in your will today. Commit my life every day. Every day. One day at a time. You know, I don't need to say it. Lord, let me be in your will this week. And about the time I say this week, tomorrow comes and then I'm gone. You know, I'm in another world. That doesn't work. This is where our faith ebbs when we do that. When we come into situations and we're relying on ourselves to think about it. And something comes on in our life and we're not counting on the Lord to help us through it. That's where our faith ebbs. And we need not to let that happen. And there's only one way to let that happen. And that is, we use God's playbook. And He's got a playbook that's better than any playbook. And His playbook is not a whole lot of X's and O's. You know, this guy goes this way, and this guy goes that way, and this guy goes up here. And if this guy comes around here, this guy can go around that way. You know, it's straight ahead. You face everything straight ahead. That's the most important thing. Face it head on with the Lord on your side. See, what he wants more from us is, than anything, is our one-on-one relationship with him. That's what he wants. That's the most important thing for him. And that should be the most important thing for us. That we can have a one-on-one relationship with the Lord. That we can talk to him anytime, anywhere, 24/7. Playbook never changes. And if we play by his playbook, we can never lose. We're always the winners. Now you say, well, nobody wins them all. I disagree. We can win them all. May not win it the way we want to win it. But the one thing I know for this, if I'm relying on the Lord and I'm going through a bunch of trials, I don't have to wait till the last second to kick a field goal to hope that I win. I've already won if I'm using his playbook, because I've got total confidence and total faith in the fact that, as Clyde said earlier, he already knows what's going on our lives. We don't need to tell him. I was talking this morning about how I got saved, and I got saved in a little tiny church over in Westchester. And I said, I've been in that building one time in my life. One time. And if you'd have told me that the day I got saved I was going to go there, I would have told you were crazy. I'm never going to go there. But I did. But what do you think happened? Lord knew I was going to be there. And actually, I even told the story to the guys this morning. I said, Kathy asked me one time, do you remember where you were saved? And I said, yeah. And I took her past the street, and I said, right there. And she said, oh, no, not there, not there. I said, that was the place. Right there. It was in the midst of a revival with a country a preacher from down in Kentucky. Me sitting in the back row thinking, oh man, what the heck am I doing here? And then the Lord saying to me, I'm talking to you. Now, you might have been talking to everybody in the room for all I know, but I won't know one thing for sure. He was talking to me. Just like Justin said today, he was talking to you, and you knew it. That's the way the Lord moves. That's why we can have the faith and we can win every time. We're not going to lose. The playbook is not complicated. It's available all the time, no matter where you are and what the situation is. It's three simple things. Three simple things. Prayer, praise, and his word. If we can rely on those three things, we're not going to lose. We will not lose. 100% sure. I am. But you have to use them all. Just like when I was looking at some of the stuff up here today, I could not believe that all three of those passages were almost identical word for word. And in consecutive order, and almost in the same place in each chapter, right toward the end. There's a reason for that. He's trying to tell me something. I don't want to lose my spiritual life. My spiritual life is more important to me than anything. It's important to me because that's what gives me peace in my life. Excuse me. I've got this terrible whatever. I can have all the stuff in the world. I've got a brother that's got all the stuff in the world. And he was down visiting me last weekend. And I said to Kath after he left, I don't think he's happy. And I don't. All the stuff in the world doesn't. And he can go and buy all the stuff he wants, and it doesn't matter. It's still not going to make him happy. And he even realizes it, because he was talking about his car and, you know, getting a new one. And I, you know, just like he's got. And the new one's $200,000. And I said, why would you do that? You got one that you've had for 20 years. It's exactly the way you like it. Why would you go do that? And he thought for a minute, and he said, you're right. Why would I do that? Then I'd have to spend all the money to get it like I want it, and, you know, another $50,000 or whatever. And it's still the same car. It's still a car. It's a, you know, gets him from point A to point B. You know, it doesn't make you happy. I've found out over the years, especially in the last 5 or 6 years, that I don't need all this stuff. I just need what I need. And I know God's going to supply all my needs. So I'm good. What we really need to do is embrace the three words that I talked about into our lives. Prayer, praise, and His Word. Four words. And if we do that, we're going to wake up and say, every day, and say, this is the greatest day of my life. Yes. Greatest day of my life. I know the day I got saved, I could say that was the greatest day of my life. But every day that I'm walking with the Lord is the greatest day of my life. Psalm 139. 9 and 10 says it all, I think. Just to show you. What did I say here? If I rise on the wing on the wings of the dawn, I will settle on the far side of the sea. Even there, your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. No matter where I am, from the right next door to as far away as I can go. Robert asked me this morning if I've ever been to Africa. And I said no. If I was in Africa, he'd still be here. He'd still be right there. We were in Scotland. Kath and I are in Scotland 15 years ago. He was there. And we could see him there, actually. in the old churches that were there, the hundreds of year old churches. You knew that God was there. Don't take for granted our relationship. Make it your sole duty every day to improve your relationship with the Lord. And you know, and there's one other thing that I thought was appropriate to end this. So show us that we can't ever lose. And it's what every church says. I don't care who you are. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but he have eternal life. For as God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. That means all of us, you know. And like Oscar says, all means all. That means everybody. If we just don't do anything else but rely on John 3:16, we know that we're going to win. We're going to win this walk we have, no matter how hard it might turn out to be, we will win it. Because at the end, we will have God's promise to us. And that's all I want today. Might be Super Bowl Sunday. Might be a great game tonight. I hope so. But in the end, it's just a game. There'll be another one next year. And there'll be another one after that. And there'll be a whole bunch of good games in between. But the thing is, our game is our game. One game. It's us. It's us and the Lord. Our one-on-one. Us and the Lord. And he's undefeated. I remember Clyde about a year ago, played We Are the Champions up here. Well, we are the champions. That's the truth. We are the champions because we know God. We know the Lord. We have the Lord in our life. And we are the champions. And you know something? I don't need a trophy to show it. I don't get a participation trophy. I don't want that. What I want is my personal trophy, and that's Jesus Christ. Nothing more, nothing else. Because if I got that, I got the real trophy. Father, thank you. Thank you for making me a winner. An undefeated winner. And Father, just thank you for making everybody in this room an undefeated winner. Father, because if we're walking with you, we know that nothing can take us off course. We have all the plays. We've got all their plays figured out. All we have to do is rely on you and continue to praise you and pray. And Father, we just get into your word. And Father, I want to give you all the praise and glory for what you're going to do today. And I give it all in Jesus' name. Amen.